The scripture lesson for this message comes from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be holy and pleasing to you, that through your word for us this day, we would continue to learn through the resurrection, to be healed and transformed through these holy, gracious, and sanctifying works, that we would experience your grace in all things and everywhere. Amen. So during this season of Easter, we're reminded that this is a very, just like any time, it's an important time to really focus and hone in on what it means to live our faith. Right, it calls us to interact with the resurrected Christ. That's the point of this season, right? It's not one day. Easter wasn't only on March 31st. Easter is 50 days. It lasts until May 19th this year, something like that. Someone with a calendar can fact check me. It lasts until Pentecost, when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so you see this season out of the traditions of the church emerge to represent this time where we, like the disciples, interact. Oh, okay, it's May 19th. I got confirmation. But we interact like the disciples with the resurrected Christ. And as I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, we do that kind of in one of two ways a lot of times. We either interact with the stories of the resurrected Christ that are in the Gospels, about the resurrection in the early days after Pentecost, and then we kind of work our way back in a reverse narrative to Pentecost in that time. And so as we've been journeying this season, we've sought to interact with the healing, the transformational nature of the resurrection as we look for us at these stories of the early church, right? In the first week, we explored the beginnings of these healings. And in fact, we started with that passage from the early church of Peter preaching and proclaiming resurrection while also looking at Christ's own resurrection, transforming how we see one another and calling us into this life together. The promise of our resurrection places our lives in contrast with that idea of what the worst the world can throw at us, right? We explore death being that absolute sense of finality in life, the worst thing that can happen, and yet Jesus comes and overcomes death and calls us to be placed in God's wonderful kingdom as we experience this healing and transformation. And last week, as Pastor Keith came in and preached, and what an amazing job he did, I want to thank him so much for coming. You know, he explored that transformation and that healing that begins to play the role in how we gather together as a community, right? Just as those early disciples gathered together and they covenanted together what it meant to share, what it meant to be in unity with one another, so too did Pastor Keith call us to recognize that we do not gather expecting to all believe, think, or even look the same, but that we gather together knowing the transformational work of Christ that happens when we come together as community. We know that God's grace feeds this nature of compassion and care that we see for one another. And it begins to build that basis of what it means to look after one another in Jesus' name. Now we continue. We continue to this next story within the life of the early church, A place that many of us might be familiar with. It is Solomon's Porch and one of Peter's great sermons that is recorded in the book of Acts. And the message that we see in this passage comes to show us and help us to understand what it means for God to be present, for God to be there, for us to allow the work of God to happen. And so we see in the verses preceding this, I almost wanted to read those verses, but I want you to go back and read that story in verses 1 through 11. A quick summary of it is Peter and John, they're going to the temple to worship, and they see this man who was born lame, this beggar begging for alms, begging for charity, and they see him sitting there. And when they see this man, they have mercy upon him. And Peter and John, they encourage him to stand up. And he experiences this healing, this physical healing that becomes seen. And the man who is healed, and Peter and John, they enter the temple and they go and they worship God. And as they exit the temple, they have started to gain attention from other people, from onlookers, from other people who had gone to the temple, from other people who were gathered in the courtyard. And from this portico, from this porch, we read that while this man who was healed, clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. How often have you ever been utterly astonished by something? And it leaves those people, and it even leaves us wondering, right? Much like Peter and John who are wondering, much like those around Peter and John who are wondering, we too wonder in amazement at what has happened to this man, right? We read this story amazed and understanding what is happening. And we know that we think we can answer the question that is being posed in all of these people, amazement. By who did this healing occur? Right? And when we read the text, we probably, like a lot of these other people, think, oh, well, it's by Peter and John, right? And we, as people who may have already read this scripture, or we even reflecting, you're in a church, so you're like, well, Peter and John did it, but like, it was also probably by God's power that it happened, right? And so we begin to think and unpack, okay, we see the work of God beginning to happen in this text. But even more so, as Peter begins this message, the question turns from by who did this healing occur to what does this man's healing mean for all those people who gathered and collected around him? What does it mean for us today? Right, in this sermon that we read, we see that this man's healing was by God. And even more importantly, as we look at the words of Peter's sermon, by God alone. Right? In fact, Peter and John, they deflect that they did anything. Imagine Peter saying, I just told him to stand up. No, he connects it directly to the nature of the God that the Jews believe in, right? He says, right there in verse 13, he says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then he extends it, right? He doesn't stop there. He says, and the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus. And so what does this mean for us? This means that as we begin to look at this work of the early church, as we look at something like this healing of this man, we begin to see the work that is being done by God. Right? Peter and John, they don't claim to have done the work. So to say. Instead, they claim, sort of in a not direct way, to simply have created space for the work to happen. And it's important for us to acknowledge this, because when we dive deeper into the healing, beyond what physically happens to this man, we see the greater spiritual lesson of what it truly means to create space for God to work. Right? And when we begin to think about this, our minds probably immediately go to evangelism, right? And evangelism we think to be this tool of salvation, but we come to learn, and we're going to come to learn throughout this series, that evangelism, the way that we witness, the way that we testify, the way that we go out and interact with people in faith, it is not something that is forced upon people. We do not go around demanding anything. In fact, when we look at passages like this, we actually see that it's contrary to not just who Christ is, but who the early disciples saw Christ to be. That our job when we go out into the world is to merely create a space for God, for God's grace, for God's understanding of grace to enter the equation. Right? We acknowledge that it is through my words, my deeds, my actions. But see, the thing is these are not my own. Because as we align ourselves with God, with God's vision, with God's message and purpose for our lives, we then begin to create space within us for the work of God, not the work of Andrew. Like I say when I preach here in front of you, this is not my word. This is God's word that God is using me as a tool to help us all learn and grow together. That's my role as your pastor, or the role of even our lay leader, of any of the leaders within this congregation, is opening ourselves up to be vessels for this work that God is doing. Right? And it can be easy to try and attach onto that physical healing component in this story. Think that this man was other because of his disability. But Peter is trying to identify the physical healing becomes a sign, it becomes an action, it becomes an experience of grace so that others can see and know that it is not what Peter and John do, but it is the work when we create space for God to work. The healing does not change this man's connection with his creator, right? The man's relationship with God is most likely the same after he is physically healed. Right, we can consider he's sitting outside the temple looking for charity. We can assume, hopefully, that he has a connection to faith. Does God's love for this man change when he is healed? No. But the space that is created between Peter, John, and this man who was lame, who is now healed, creates space for all of them to know and understand God's love and grace. The space that is created in the physical healing initiates this conversation about what spirituality looks like for these people. It encourages them to encounter the work that has been done. And yes, we can, just like we try and place this otherness and disability on the man, we can also place on the Jews and people who surround them this villainization that we think that Peter is laying upon them. And yet, we miss the true message. We miss the true message because Peter is not naming it to villainize the people who are around them. Peter is trying to name the disfavor of Jesus to try and point attention to who Christ is in their lives and the healing that takes place in their resurrection. Peter names the rejection of Christ by humanity as a point of reconciliation, not as a point to disown, to disrupt the eternal order of God's grace. He is not condemning these people. He is welcoming them in, calling them to acknowledge who our Lord and Savior is. And so they open a place for God to work. The man is healed. Right? And honestly, in that healing, reestablishing his hope in humanity, there are these two humans who took favor upon me. And in the name of God, I was offered healing. I imagine even if it was dropping some money in a plate for him so that he can help and so that he can get help whatever kind of way he needs, that there is thankfulness in that. And so when we look at this passage, right, I want us to move away, right? You know, we're never physical healing is always a tough thing to talk about, right? Because it's something so many of us long for, right? When someone's sick, or when someone hurts themselves, we pray for physical healing and we look for God to come in and you know, I break my leg, God heal my leg, but do we miss the true point of what's actually happening? I'm not saying that God doesn't work in ways of physical healing. What I'm saying is that when we create space for God to work, we can be surprised. We don't put a name on what it might be. Yes, we pray for things. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are hurting. Well, we pray for all kinds of people because we hope that in opening that space up, in opening our hearts up, because there's something to say when we pray for those kinds of things, that is a hurt on our heart. That is a pain in our soul. This morning, right before Sunday school, actually, Sarah sent me a message, and this gentleman at the first church, one of the first churches I ever served, passed away. And I was telling him, I said, you know, this man, he was so comforting. He was so welcoming. For a 25-year-old pastor right out of seminary, thought he knew everything. Thought he knew everything. Thought he was already the best pastor that ever existed. It only took me 10 years to get there, y'all. Now I'm the best pastor that's ever existed. Took me 10 years. I mean, that's a pain that's in there. There's a pain for him and in his family and in that church community, but letting that go, releasing it to God. It takes time to heal. It takes time to grieve, but we're never going to get to that place if we do not open ourselves, if we do not create space, right? I mean, Peter proclaims in verse 16, by faith in his name. His name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of you. Look at what they are doing. They are not laying claim. They are not saying anything other. Look at the work that Jesus continues to do, even though he was killed, even though he is dead, even though he was resurrected, and even though now he has ascended up into heaven. And we are here continuing this work, continuing to create space for the same work that he did in his life. Right, in our modern envisioning of church and community, we are leaving people in a situation of otherness. We are leaving these people on the front steps of our church. We are leaving these people in our community. We are leaving them without hope, without understanding. Because we are not creating space for God to work through us. It is a space created for God to truly work that plants the seeds of healing and reconciliation. And our faith calls us to create this space, to heal, to teach and preach, yes, but even more so, to allow God to work through us, to stop getting in God's way. Jesus created this space in his life. We see examples all throughout the early church. This is not going to be the only example, friends. We're going to look at a few more of times when the early disciples, they listened, they heard God's vision, and they created space. They didn't try to put their spin on it. They didn't try to back down to the legalese that was the word of the day in Jerusalem. They didn't try to put caveats on it. They created space for God. And we need to reclaim this spiritual message. We can, like, there are times when we try so hard. We want to make God in our image. We think that I alone, I know the truth. My truth is the only truth. And we forget that it is through God that we do this work. It is through emptying ourselves. It is through creating space around us. Truly leaving for the space for God is welcoming God in. Right? We do a good job of that as Christians. Like, I will give it to us. We do a good job of welcoming God in. Of saying, Lord, you're welcome here. Right? We do baptism, profess people into faith, welcome them into our community, and we say, God, you are welcome here. God, you are welcome in my soul. You're welcome in this church. But the problem is then we start to create a space where God doesn't feel so welcome. We start to put restrictions on the work that God can do. But this passage, it calls us into a deeper connection to God. calls us into a deeper connection through the Word of God, the Word of God made flesh in Jesus Christ, to create this space. And it's in this idea, the freedom and healing of God's presence among us. And it's how we then extend and create that space, not just here in our hearts, because I can create a space in my heart and enjoy God's presence and God's love. And let me get an amen if it feels good when you feel God's presence with you.
Amen.
Well, let me say, it's kind of selfish for you to keep that to yourself. Why would you ever just hold on to it? Why would you never offer that grace to other people? Why would you not try and create that space to broaden that scope of where God's love already is? Why not help others to understand that nature that is filling them? Right, I want us to consider what it means to create that space. We claim repentance as Peter does. We call people into this relationship with God because we help them to understand that it is this work that God is doing in and through us. It is the space that is created when we journey alongside of who God is, who God truly is. And it's in this work of God's kingdom that we experience transformational healing, and that this truly transformational healing begins to take place. Because friends, the more often we try to put our own selves, our own ideas, our own ideology before who God is, the more that we cut off the true grace and spirit of who God is, and the harder it is going to be to offer the transformational healing of the resurrection. Right? Peter proclaims it right there in verse 12, right at the beginning. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though through our own power or piety we made him walk? When we see Jesus through his ministry proclaiming healing upon people, helping others. And in this moment, it could have been so easy for Peter to take it and to proclaim healing and even to villainize and victimize those around them who killed his best friend. And yet Jesus knows that Peter would create that space for others to know and experience. Instead, he shows that they made themselves and by extension this man available to God's work. How are you creating this space? How are you calling others around you to recognize, to experience God's love and grace? How is God's grace shed in your ministry through your life? How is Christ present in you? Amen.